You're listening to Locomotives on WMG 90.9 Gorham, Portland, Maine, DB281 AC 104.1 FM, Portland. I'm Rob, and we're here today. What? Huh?
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
Apparently, Rowan is here also.
And I'm Rowan.
Well, I didn't know you were
going to
be here. I didn't know Rowan was going to be part of Locomotives. I thought she was. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, what's the button? What's the button? What's the beat? Let's bring him in. All right, and ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to our guest this evening. His name is Scott something French, like Gerard or Giroux or Gerard some Scott. Okay, I can't hear him. Is there a reason why I can't hear him? I'm talking to the industrial guy here, Mr. Engineer, and because I can't hear a darn thing anyway.
Let me know. Oh, hey, how you doing?
Oh, hey, all right.
That's
so,
me.
Scott.
Gerard.
Scott Gerard.
Unless you're French, it's Chidois.
Gerard.
Chidois.
Now, are you French? That was my first question.
I am. I am French.
So are you going to play us some French music tonight?
I was going to, but I cannot speak French, so I will just be skipping over.
But can you sing French?
No. Well, well, no. No. I can swear in French, but we won't do that.
All right. So here we are. This is WMPG, and this is Locomotives, live local music brought to you here. I got this guy. I've never heard him before. I've actually seen like maybe 15 seconds of YouTube. And you're wondering, why is Rob interviewing this guy, Scott, if he's never heard him before?
Necessity.
Yes, exactly. Because Josh is away and I'm helping out. So, but that, I think, is going to make for a beautiful show tonight, because when I ask you questions, I won't be pretending.
Right. You'll be legitimately asking me a question.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, so what are your influences?
Right.
Because I'll be like, dude, seriously, what are your influences?
Or how do you say your last name?
Exactly. So, you know, first things first.
Sure.
I just want to say that whenever you want to get started, because I can be kind of rambly.
Yes.
You can just look at me and go like this. And I'll know.
I'll
okay,
say you
it's
can
time
stop
to go.
Now. I'd like to play a song. Right, I will do that. I will do that. But I love to talk. So let's please talk.
All right. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to skip the music portion of the show tonight. We're just going
to put the stupid guitar down 1 second. We're just going to talk.
Talk about Moxie boxes and stuff like that. So. All
right. Do not poke a hole in the Moxie box.
Yeah, see, and this is exactly why I told you when I came in that I'm not going to talk to you. I walked in and I said, hi, I'm not going to talk to you before the show. Because I knew that's what would happen. I would end up having a conversation, and then I would reference the conversation while we're live on the air.
And no one would get it.
Nobody. No,
yep.
Nothing.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It's all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, let's blame him, because I'm pretty sure it was my fault. But hey, we could blame you.
But I'm not here all week or every week, so you can blame what you want on me, because I'm gone after this.
There we go.
And you can just talk about me all you want.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Sweet.
Right. Totally. Yeah, we talked about like your hair and your glasses and stuff, right?
It's the great thing about playing on radios. It doesn't matter how you look. So I didn't really comb my hair and kind of look like a bum today.
I think you look fabulous.
Well, thank you. I feel fabulous.
This guy's got like long blonde hair. He looks like Nikki Sixx. And it's pretty impressive, you know. He's and the glasses there.
Sure.
You know those like the cat's eye glasses from the 60s with the little diamond studs on them? This guy, man.
Right.
Looking like Nikki Sixx. Rocking the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure he probably does when he's at home.
Yes.
Because he's like 60. So he needs his glasses.
Specifically the cat's eye glasses. Because if I were Nikki Sixx, I would do that just because.
Just because you can.
Yeah. Hey, these
Nikki
are my glasses.
Sixx, I'll wear whatever I want.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
All right. So, Scott, would you like to play some music?
I would love to play some music. I have a guitar in my hand, so I might as well do something.
All right. You do that. And then when you're done, we'll talk about it.
That or Nikki Sixx?
Oh, both.
Okay,
actually,
cool.
Hey, do you want to do one or two songs? Let me know now.
I want to do one.
You're going to do one, and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back. All right, here we go. This is Scott something French. No, Scott Gerard on WMBG.
Come on, sing for me, till the morning comes. Bluebird likes to sing for me a song. Come on, sing for me till the pain is gone. 'Cause all I hear are sad songs about another broken heart. They don't feel like I do. Tell me where to start. Well, everybody says they're friends. How come they don't stay till the very end? Everybody says they're friends. How come they don't stay till the very end? 'Cause all I hear are sad songs about another broken heart. They don't feel like I do. Tell me where to start. Till the morning comes. The bird likes to sing for me a song. Come on, sing for me till the pain is gone. 'Cause all I hear are sad songs about another broken heart. They don't feel like I do. Tell me where to start.
And what exactly do you have to say for yourself now?
What do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. You know, I just know that I've listened to Locomotives often enough, and people after, they usually say like, oh, that was really nice, you know, and stuff like that. And it was like, it always sounds like the same thing every time. So I figured I would try a different outline. So,
you want me to try and explain myself for what you just heard?
Well, isn't that the whole point?
I don't know if it's a good explanation or a bad, like, what did you just do? I'm a father, so I'm looking at that. What did you do?
Exactly.
What was that supposed to be?
Exactly. How many kids you got?
Just one.
Just one?
Yes.
All right.
Not to say that she's not enough.
Right.
But I have one.
But you didn't break that one, so.
No, I didn't break that good. One. So far, so good.
All right. So now we're going to get to the heart of the matter of stylistically what you're doing here.
Great. Stylistically right now, I'm taking off this outer layer because it's extremely hot in here. But
that's kind of part of the program, you
right?
know. We intentionally make it like
sweat it out of them.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you the impression like you're really live on stage in the July. And
absolutely. There's more lights here than. So, hi. What were you talking about?
Well, what I was thinking was, okay, so clearly you're a guy with a guitar.
Sure.
Okay, now the first thing I'm going to do is tell you that, honestly, that's probably one of my least favorite styles of music.
I can appreciate that.
Because usually the guy with the guitar, he's really only there just to try and pick up the girls.
Exactly.
So now tell me, why are you the guy with the guitar?
Because I got sick of playing with other musicians.
Oh.
I mean, no, it's really like, it's really just a time restraint thing.
Now we know.
No, it's kind of true, but not really. But I've been playing with bands for 20-something years, and everybody who was getting my age was having kids and full-time jobs and just didn't want to, which I do too, but it was just hard to get everybody together, so I just started writing songs on my acoustic guitar in my living room and just said, well, I'm just going to play like this for a while and not have to worry about scheduling a practice and will these people show up to the gig and will they show up okay. You know, it's like there's that aspect of it too, and yes, all I have to worry about is myself, so it's
I've seen
cool.
your Facebook. I know some of your friends.
Let's we won't go into that right now.
Yeah. No, so okay, so going back to that though, interestingly, does the music that you write now, do you intend to at some point put it together with other musicians, or is this completely just like what you like to, like where you're at now?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, actually. I mean, I like the idea of being able to play a solo gig, just come and do something like this by myself, but then also put together a large band for a gig. I had a gig a couple weeks ago where I had a drummer and a bass player.
I know.
And well, there you weren't there.
Facebook is a creepy thing, man.
I know, right? And it was great. It was great. It was a lot of fun. But that was that night. It doesn't mean that I want to do that every night. So
that's, you know, what my wife says.
Well,
like, she's just like, you know, that was that one time. It doesn't mean I want to do that ever again.
So that was like my birthday present gig, is what you're saying?
Yes. Like, you know,
that was like a special night, Scott.
And this is my daughter over here looking at me with the the infuriated look on her face.
Sorry.
What? I was just talking about cake. Cake. Real.
Not every
I'm
night.
I'm going to hit you.
Not every night you get cupcakes.
That's right. Well, sometimes it's cookies.
It's cookies. Yeah. So that night it was cupcakes. Tonight it's cookies. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. It's just that, you know, it's not every night. But, you know. All right. So, okay. So keeping on with what you're doing now.
Yes.
It's what were some of the bands that you did before? Or do you want to say?
No,
say. Because I don't know. See, that's the beauty here. Is basically all I know is from Facebook is that you had a gig not too long ago, and I can totally see your kid on the Facebook.
Yeah, right. So, I know. Yeah. I know. Maybe I should put that more private. not that I mind you looking at it.
No. I completely understand.
No, but yeah, she's cute, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah,
as far
right.
as kids go, I got like five of them. I got like five of them. I'm
right.
totally
right.
used to the kid thing. Like,
I know.
They're all
cute.
They're not cute anymore.
They're all cute, yeah. When they come to the radio station with you, they're not.
She's going to kick me again.
There
Please
you
be nice.
There you go. So bands, well, you might know, like, the first band that got me into the scene, you might know, which was Active Culture.
Right.
Ska band.
Yeah.
That was
my
first time playing in the Portland scene, really playing in the Portland scene. And then I was in Mystic Vibes for 7 or 8 years.
And that was a good band too.
That was a great band. That was a lot of fun. But like, a lot of things, it ran its course and it was time to move on, and I started a couple other bands and did the rock thing for a while, and which I love reggae, I love country, I love a lot of different stuff, but so I kind of have a hard time being satisfied with just one thing. It's difficult. So I mean, I'm doing this right now, and I have a country duo that I play.
My wife
as well.
Said that too.
Oh jeez, here we go.
Sorry.
This is getting awkward.
Get back to the series.
This is getting awkward. I don't know if it's as awkward for me as it is for her, but
please stop
wow.
hitting me.
That's not me hitting him, folks.
Yeah.
I'm in another room.
He's in another room.
I'm in another room.
Yeah, anyway, no more trips to the boxing club for you.
Hey, there you go.
Ow. All right, so you were saying you like country.
I love, I love like old school country.
Right.
I have a country duo that I play with, playing with a friend of mine, Kevin. We do, we like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, and all that kind of stuff.
Lenny Lashley
Hank
and
Williams,
the Piss Poor Boys.
Hank Williams. There's an interesting reference.
Come on, tell me.
No,
is that not?
Like... That's good. You know, but yeah, so we go pretty far back, and it's fun. But this is kind of... I've been playing electric guitar since I was 14. I'm 40 now. And I don't really play electric guitar much anymore. It's just kind of, I I've kind of burnt out of it. So, and maybe in another year, I'll not want to play acoustic guitar for a while. So, but you know, I think if I did the same thing for 20 something years, I probably wouldn't be doing it at all anymore because I'd be so burnt out of playing. So,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
to change it up, keep it interesting.
Okay, well, change it up. What's the next song?
I'll change it up. Well, oh, I have to think.
Oh, did I catch you while you were drinking? All right.
San Pellegrino. Good for digestion or something. I'll do... okay, I'm going to do a song. Okay, I should preface this song. I actually didn't like the song, and I had a gig a few weeks ago, and I played it just as filler because I needed a song, and somebody said, wow, it's a really good song. You should play it more often. So I actually almost like it now, so.
Everything's better when somebody tells you it is.
Somebody tells you. Is that another reference to what? It's
like, no. My
we're
wife
not,
again.
We're not going there, okay, we're not going there again.
No, no.
But anyway, so this song is it's about being dumped.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a country thing, too.
So it's like about my ex-wife.
Exactly, my ex-wife. And mine, too. was I dumped? No, we won't go there.
No, anyway. Neither was I.
No, yeah. No, okay. So yeah, the song is called Stuck Here Wondering. Cause my woman said she needed to be free. She left me feeling was so blue. Even though she knew that my heart was true. Stay another day. There was nothing I could do, nothing I could do or say. Love is never easy, sometimes life is hard. Happiness isn't always in your cause. Somebody tell me now, somebody tell me please, why does love always
So the other thing I should probably have you do is actually, like, name the songs as you do them, because I was thinking to myself, you know, later we're going to probably put this on a disc or something like that.
Lovely.
And we're going to have no idea what anything is. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, there was the Stuck Here Wondering song.
Right, right. That's the name of it.
Okay, good. That's
Minus the song word, but Stuck Here Wondering.
Oh, okay.
Dot, period, whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Where's that echo coming from? Echo, 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 echo. Echo.
Hey,
do you hear the echo or is it just me?
I heard it.
I heard it too.
Briefly?
Briefly.
I think I just heard it again. Oh, it was her talking. Come on.
Hello?
I heard it. I heard it. No, I don't hear it anymore.
All right. So, hey, you were saying that when you you came to town that you said about Active Culture was a...
ska band.
Yes. That wasn't what I was saying you were saying. But what I was saying was is you said that that was your introduction into the scene.
Yeah, I mean, I was 22, something like that. So, I mean, I'd probably played a couple gigs in Portland before there, before then, but that was really when I started playing in a band that was playing in the clubs I wanted to play in, like Granny Killiam's, and
right,
like places like that. You know, I'm playing an all-ages show, then a 21-plus show after, and playing with bands that I looked up to and admired, and so that was pretty cool.
Where are you from? Like, where, did you grow up here?
I grew up in Saco.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no bands down there, right?
No. Well, you know, a couple great bands have come out of Saco. I just wasn't in any of them, but...
Yeah. Sorry, that was... No, ladies and gentlemen of the Saco area,
Funtown,
that was not intentional slight. It was mere slip of the tongue.
That's right.
It was fun in you.
It's fun in us.
Fun in you. All right, so how did you get into Active Culture? Because I don't know what time you're talking about, but for a while, Active Culture was kind of a big deal around here, at least to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think unfortunately, and this isn't really meant to be a joke, but I kind of got on it in its tail end, like when it was kind of fizzling out. But
those were tough times.
Yeah, yeah. That was 95-ish?
Yeah.
95, something like that. And I think, honestly, I answered an ad, like a newspaper ad or something, that they were looking for. I think they were looking for a bass player, and I auditioned on bass. And they're like, yeah, you're great. And then I came for the second time for the rehearsal, and they went, man, you're not as good as you were at the audition. And so they fired me. They fired me. And I was like, well, I'm really a guitar player. And they said, that's great. Go away, kid. And 6 months later, I ran into one of them, I think, and they said, oh, we kind of need a guitar player. And so I came and auditioned again on a guitar, and then I had the gig. But
all right, okay.
So that was my first, like, rejection. It felt really bad. I was like, I'm no good. I should quit.
Aw.
I was a young whippersnapper. I didn't know.
Yeah, but that, you know, it was a great band. Even yeah, towards the end, I, you know, in fact, I would say, you know, for Jody, who,
yep,
for ladies and gentlemen in the audience, was the singer, and he was... He was the primary driving force of the band. You had Jody, High Street, and Butts, Dave Butts,
yep,
who were really, as a trio, they were the core. But Jody was really I mean, he was a whirlwind of firepower.
For sure, yeah. It was his baby.
And I know that like two or three of the last songs that he wrote for the band are basically like his favorites. Like,
yeah.
When you talk to him now, you'd be like, oh, hey, you know, Jody, I was thinking some young bands that are coming up, they should cover some of your songs. He's like, oh, no, those old ones are terrible. Oh, if you just had a copy of this one song that I wrote and recorded that I lost and I have no idea where it is ever, and we'll never find it.
Exactly.
If you just had that one to cover, then you should do that, but not the other ones. I'd be like, oh, sure, Jody. I'll just come up with that.
And, you know, it was interesting. I was in the band for a year, maybe, before it disbanded.
Yeah.
And listening to, I was a kid that picked up the Active Culture CD and went, oh, this is really cool. Not thinking I would ever be in the band. I just liked it. And then I started playing the songs live.
Hey, why'd it do that?
It was amazing how different they were live and what we did with them. They had more of a rock edge and they were a little louder and a little more aggressive. And,
yes.
And yeah, it was so much fun playing it live. I mean, when I joined, I was a rock guitar player who loved ska and reggae. And so when I joined, it's like, how am I going to make this, you know, okay? And I started doing weird things. Joy was like, yeah, what you just did, do more of that. So I could. So I just kind of worked into it and kind of... So I was playing somebody else's music, but it was kind of putting a little bit of my stamp on it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
I think one of my favorite things about that band was that you had Dave Butts, who was always, yep, like, really, he was really pushing for experimental,
right,
different ideas. He had High Street, John High Street. He went on to play with a lot more traditional type
bands.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you had Jody, I mean, he was kind of somewhere in the middle.
Jody was Jody.
Yeah, I mean, he was perfectly happy to sort of pull from both of those and put something together.
Exactly.
And I really think that's why the band did as well. But going back to what you did, how was it that you got into ska and... See, you, just so you know, you do know that I do the ska show
after
this right there.
I,
so therefore, suddenly... Your conversation is interesting.
It's interesting. It's no, I'm no longer a dude with a guitar.
Dad.
She's on my side.
Yeah. Yeah, she usually is. She spends most of her time here during my show kicking me and telling me bad things.
Good for her.
I turn the mic down and she hits me and yells at me and says,
and you continue.
You horrible, bad, foul person. You're awful. And I say, All right, so, yes, back to you.
Yes, sure.
Because we're here for you, not me.
Okay, well, I mean, you guys can talk. I'll just go.
Yeah, you can go right.
Go, I don't know.
Do whatever you need, man.
Go for a walk. I don't know. It's nice out. Well, if you're asking how I get into that.
Yeah, musically, like, come on. It's a show where you play your music and we talk about your direction in life and why it should matter to anybody who's listening. At least that's what I think the show's about. So tell us why it matters.
Wow.
Tell me the meaning of life,
Father, come on.
I don't
know. My father has never had a way with words, so just...
No, it's great. I mean, I think...
Don't
I'm just
hear
how far
he
I go.
Says.
Well, you know, I mean, to give you... Okay. As I always tell people, there were two big musical moments in my life.
This is getting good.
Yes, this is good. One is, I'll start with the 14-ish and then go back a year or so before that. No, actually, it was after that. Okay, the first big one was when I was 14, I think, and my parents took me to Jamaica.
Sweet.
They said they went to Jamaica every year, and like, you want to go to Jamaica for 2 weeks? And I said, okay. And they said, there's no phone and no cable. It's like, I don't have anybody to talk to, and I don't like TV. All right, cool, let's go. And so I went, and we stayed in this little remote fishing village, and I got to kind of walk around the island and talk to Rastas as this little, you know, kid. And it was great. And I was already kind of into Bob Marley at that point, but when I got back... It kind of made me want to delve more into that, I guess, and learn more about it. And then as I got older, it was like not just reggae. It was like, all right, well, ska is pretty cool. And then rocksteady and all that stuff and learning like studying the different genres and the different eras of reggae and ska, where it came from and stuff. And then fast forward a year and a half later, I'm getting serious about guitar. And I had my first job at the ballpark in Old Orchard Beach. And it was Stevie Ray Vaughan, the Stray Cats were playing. And this was a year and a day or two before Stevie Ray Vaughan passed away. So I was working concessions. It was before the gates opened, and it was, you know, so he's just doing sound check. So I snuck away from my job, and I stood about as far away as you and I are standing, about 10 feet away maybe, and watched him do sound check.
Nice.
And I was just sitting there mesmerized by this guy thinking, oh, my God, he's amazing. And I remember him looking at me smiling, and he took his hat that he always wore. He took his hat off, tipped it to me while he was holding this crazy guitar note, put it back on, and kept playing a solo. And I went, I want to do that. It's like, I want to be that guy.
And then you grew your hair like Nikki Sixx.
And I grew my hair like Nikki Sixx and got the crazy glasses.
Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't actually have hair like Nikki Sixx. I'm
sorry. Bald.
I don't. Yeah, but anyway, sure. Fine. He's got hair like Nikki Sixx. I don't care. I was trying to be true. I was trying to be honest, but, you know.
Probably a lot of people are listening are friends of mine and family, and they're like, that's not true.
Yeah, and they're also going, Jesus, Rob, shut up, let him talk.
Yeah, no, no.
Make him play some music.
Even I'm thinking that.
No, oh, that's...
She always thinks that.
I enjoy just talking. The music's secondary, really. So. But, yeah, so anyway, that was, like, big musical moments in my life. So I've always been very influenced by reggae and ska, and I've always been very influenced by the blues. So, and then my grandfather was a country singer, so I'm kind of...
Oh, sweet. Well, you know what? After I tell everybody what the station is, and you play another song, then we'll talk about that.
That sounds
lovely.
If
you would like to.
I would love to talk about that.
Wonderful.
Sure.
You're listening to Locomotives on WMBG 90.9, Gorham, Portland, Maine, and W281EC 104.1 FM, Portland. I'm here with Scott Girard, and he's playing a guitar.
Sorry. Does this mean you would like me to play another song now, Rob?
Yes.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about the country, I'll do a country song that I wrote.
Sweet.
It's called The Girl Behind the Bar.
Even better.
Yeah, well, yeah.
this song for the girl behind the bar. She's always on my mind. And I know it's clear, it's a place in my heart for the girl behind the bar. Well, I find myself spending my cash when I know I don't have time. But I'll search my pocket, find some more to spend, so I can see her face one more time. So I'm singing this song for the girl behind the bar. She's always on my mind. And I know it's clear, place in my heart for the girl behind the bar. Now some say it's time to move on. She smiles at every guy that way, but I know it's not true. She pours me my beer and I search for something to say. So I'm singing this song for the girl behind the bar. She's always on my mind. Bid her farewell, and I ask for her to call me a cab. Well, she looks at me with that fire in her eyes. She says, "Dear, you forgot to pay your tab." So I'm singing this song for the girl behind the bar. She's always on.
That's the story of my life right there.
And mine too.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about going to a bar. This is like when you're a guy, like that's, you feel like it's some kind of cruel joke, you
right.
know?
Oh, yeah.
You go there and she's beautiful.
She's nice.
Nice.
She brings
so
you beer.
Nice. She's pretty. She dresses nice. She brings you beer.
Yeah.
And then you have the beer. Yeah. And you know what happens when you have beer. Everything's prettier when you have beer.
Exactly.
Everything's prettier. Like, the drunkest I ever got, I remember, like, laying on a sidewalk, looking at the individual bricks in the morning dew, being like, wow, they're so beautiful.
So beautiful. Old port bricks.
Yeah. Oh, it was,
oh, that's vomit.
Liquor turns every man into a poet.
Yeah. I kept thinking to myself, you know, I wonder where I am.
Yeah.
I want to go back and see beautiful bricks like these again someday.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. But that's every guy's story right there.
Yeah. And you know, so then like, you go to a bar and
yeah.
it's all...
You're like, oh, she likes me. She's being so nice. She's paying attention to me.
She wants more tips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you don't think that at the time.
Or,
then you realize,
yeah.
oh, she really
did. Well, because you've got the beer.
Because you got the beer. You're like, right. but I'm me.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, yeah, I'm just me.
I'm like totally special.
Right. And then you realize I'm just the dude who hit the staff part of the bar.
I had a friend who had like the hugest crush on the barmaid at his favorite bar for the longest time. And he was convinced that, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then it was only after she started dating someone else that he found out that maybe, yeah. But
maybe,
like,
yeah.
it was too late by then, so.
Well, see, that was a legitimate story about a legitimate girl, that song. And she knows about it. And we're great friends now, and she thinks it's a great song. It's bittersweet, I guess, for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It always makes it weird when someone that you find attractive and then you tell them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
No, like, I knew this girl at this coffee shop, and I always saw her. Like, I'd seen her around for, like, a decade. And I always thought she had this really interesting face, just really neat and pretty.
Just what a woman wants to hear. You're really neat.
See, she said I don't have a way with words,
I'd rather be called neat than pretty, because neat means, like, unique and cool.
That's
and,
true.
You know? Pretty just means like, oh, hey, you fit the social dynamic. Well, congrats.
There you go.
So it's like,
she's a feminist.
Good for her.
So she reminded me of like a cat, like a cartoon cat, maybe. You know, she was really pretty, I liked it. Right,
yeah,
and then,
sure.
but see, at the same time, it was the kind of pretty where I was never attracted to her.
Right,
and so then one day I was like, you know what? As long as we're sitting here, I need to tell you that you are wicked pretty and unique and using a face like a cat cartoon, whatever.
Absolutely.
I don't even know. And then...
I hope you didn't add in the cat cartoon.
I don't remember, but what I really remember...
That? The cat in the cartoon.
Yeah, I know. What I really remember most about the whole thing was that for like 10 years, she always seemed like such a nice person. And then after that, I realized that... She really wasn't like she wasn't unnice.
Right.
But she wasn't as nice as I thought she was.
Sure.
She wasn't who's the one? The Snow White with the Cinderella with the birds on the fingers and stuff?
Okay, sure, yeah.
She wasn't that person at all. No.
But you know, you had built her up.
Snow White was the one that had all the animal friends.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, I think all of the Disney princesses had animal friends.
Why would they not?
I'm trying so hard to not say and your mom. But you would kick me again if I did. But you left it out there in such a way that it was like, whoa, and because your mama jokes are
great.
No,
I can't really do your mama jokes with her. So.
Well, no, I mean.
Well, no.
So.
We'll extend the show and she can go out for a little bit. We'll do the mama jokes.
Yeah. Your mama jokes. Her mama.
Her mama.
Is...
Oh, jeez.
All right. So, okay. Do you want to play another song? Or do you want to talk more? You've been talking for 10 minutes. It's all you rambling away
really?
For 10. Yeah, seriously, dude. It's like 10 past 8.
I actually went out. I went to McDonald's to get a burger.
Played like 2 songs. We've been rambling this whole time.
I played 3.
Oh, my God.
I played 3.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
You know, maybe I'll do... I'm going to do a cover. Is that okay?
Yeah.
No.
All right, good. I'm going to do it anyway. I was told I could, man.
Nuh-uh. Mm. Really? They told you that?
Just do it.
I always thought the rule was like, absolutely no, not on any occasion, never.
Being serious right now?
Well, okay. I am being serious that I was told that at one point a long time ago.
It was...
But I'm not being serious in the sense that I really couldn't care less.
Well, see, because...
If you're going to play something fun and nice, I would be glad to hear it.
I don't know if it's fun or nice, but...
Oh, okay. Oh.
I played here Valentine's night. I was here Valentine's Day, and we did the love show. Where it was all love, Portland love songs.
Mm.
And somebody,
I think I missed that.
I know. Well, it wasn't all positive love. It's
all
right.
What a shame. I missed that.
It was
one.
Negative love, too. It's okay. It was songs that were like about getting your heart broken, too, which is what love is all about.
Yeah,
but,
really.
But I played a cover that night, and they said it was cool. So.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay.
Nobody minds. It's like having food in the studio. No one actually cares.
Right.
It's
just, yeah,
or San Pellegrino and Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about your song. No, don't tell me. Play your song.
Well, no, I'll just say, it's a Radiohead song. We'll start with that. And I'm not a big Radiohead fan at all. But I heard this song and I was like, wow, this is kind of a cool idea. So I stripped it down to an acoustic song that sounds nothing like the original. And I started playing it at gigs and people said they like it. So I'm going to do it.
And as we decided before, that definitely makes it good.
Right. Exactly. Right. One person says it, I'm on board.
Dude, that's a great song.
That's all I need. You know? So yeah, I'll do this. It's called All I Need by Radiohead.
I'm I'm an animal trapped in your hot car. I am hot days that you choose to
That was cute.
It was cute.
Fair enough. I'll take that.
There was awkward silence. So.
No, I figured
that was adorable.
Yes.
I did so much talking last time. I was going to let him have the first word.
No.
Lord knows I was going to take the rest of them.
No. I'll give you 1 out of 800.
See, this is me being quiet again.
No, I was
giving him a chance.
Well, I don't know what to say. So that was a song.
I'll ask you things.
Yeah, sure. That would be great.
Okay, so I did see that you did something recently with High Street.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that because I was a creeper looking on your Facebook.
That's fine. that was fun. Yeah, we did the big Clash Bash and Barbecue.
Yeah.
And High Street and I, along with a few other people, were in the 70s band representing the 70s. And there was a band that represented the 80s, the 90s, and then today. And we played 9 songs from the 70s, and it was like 1,700 people there. It was kind of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I'll do it again. I wish I could play in front of crowds that big every day.
Yeah, you know, isn't that like, I have to say, I'm sometimes a little weirded out by some of those cover things, you know?
Yeah, like, sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, big crowds of people show up,
I know.
I'm thinking like, come on, there's original music right down the street. You know?
Yep.
So tell me about this gig that you did. And why were there so many people there? What was it about?
Why there were so many people there, who knows? I mean, that's why people love music that they love, you know what I mean? It's like I
see, and this is why I need to vet the questions before.
I hear you. And you know, it's the whole cover original thing is something that I've heard people debate about for a long time, and I've debated with myself about it too, but I love doing those gigs. Anytime I do a gig like that where I have to play with musicians I don't normally play with, and I have to play songs I don't normally play, it makes me a better musician and it improves what I'm doing on my own. So that's why I do it, plain and simple. And, you know, I mean, some of the guys that I play with over the last few years I've met from gigs like that. You know, it's like we got thrown together for something and suddenly, wow, you're a really good bass player. Let's do some gigs together. And suddenly you're in a band. And so it's good for that. I think it's kind of a good community thing. I mean, yeah, like we're playing covers and, yeah, that's what people want to hear, unfortunately, a lot of times. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe if 1,700 people came, maybe 20 of them are going to want to go hear my original stuff now.
Right.
And that's 20 that might not have before, so I'll take it.
So when are you going to, what does your original schedule look like?
The next gig I have is October 10th at Empire. Playing October 10th at Empire, opening up for Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems, their CD release party. So, and that's about it. And then I have, I released an EP about a month ago online. So it's scottgerard.bandcamp.com. It's just four songs. And
did you play any of them tonight?
Yes. Played two of them so
far. Okay.
Two of them so far.
Well,
yeah.
Good. That means we got at least two more songs before he runs out of material.
I think the first two, I don't remember what I played anymore, but...
That's why I told you to say the names when
you
do them.
Right?
Oh, wait. Let's see if I can remember this. There was Girl Behind the Bar, All I Need,
And the other one with the one before it. Yeah, okay, good. I think we got them down.
All right, so only one of them are on the EP. I feel bad.
You were going to tell us about your uncle?
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Well, I have an uncle who's a musician.
My
uncle grandfather.
Jeez,
I come from a musical family, I guess. My grandfather, my uncle, and my cousin were all, at some point, musicians. Guitar players and singers, oddly enough. So, all different, well, I can't say all different genres. My grandfather was a bluegrass country singer. Had his own radio shows in the 50s and stuff, like Friday nights with George Roy, and he'd play country music. And then he had another show, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, where he'd do the same thing, but it was all in French.
Yeah, I was going to say, George Roy.
Yeah, exactly.
George Roy.
He's get the George Roy show in, the George Roy.
Exactly.
Right?
So there you go. So.
Oh, you should totally learn some of his French songs now.
I play a couple of his English ones, but none of his French, because they sound really difficult to learn.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't speak French, so...
Yeah, there's that.
So, there's that kind of, I could sing it, but I don't know what I'm singing. Who knows what I'm singing about, you know?
I mean, I was just with Rowan, I was saying, I don't know why we were talking while you were playing music. We were actually...
Because I'm
totally
a guy with a guitar, I get it.
We were totally paying attention to you, but we were also talking, you see? And I was saying that something about the Frenchness, because... there's these old French Canadian songs that I look at on the internet sometimes, and there's really these really awesome like working class anthem-y type things without really intentioning to be that way,
because
they were just singing about
intentioning.
Yeah, I just
I love that word.
I made it up.
Anyway,
but they were just trying to live in a depressed economy.
Exactly.
So you get these songs in French, saying like, don't worry about it. We're going to get by. Okay.
Exactly.
Or
why
something.
Why are you getting an Italian accent?
I wasn't going to say it, but
you get like a New Jersey Italian accent to quote.
Sorry.
Oui, forget about it.
Don't worry about it too much, no?
Oui,
hey. You get by, okay?
But
it'll be okay.
So he was good, and I remember when I got my first guitar Christmas Day when I was like 14 or something, and he came into my room. I said, "Look, I got a guitar." Pepe, I called him Pepe. He was French, And he came into my room. He said, "Oh, cool." He picked up this catalog electric guitar with this horrible amp and played the most devastating bluegrass riffs I've ever heard in my life, and went, "Oh, I'm never gonna play like that." Just the most horrible thing. It was like, "I'm gonna be a great guitar player." I heard him play and I went, "I'm never gonna play like
you
that."
You could, though. You could.
I could. I still don't think I could play as well as he did.
Especially because I have this really cool idea that I keep trying to get people to get on board with.
Okay.
Have you heard it? Have you heard my show? Because I ramble about it all the time.
I have heard your show many times.
You ramble about a lot of things all the time.
I really think that what Portland needs is a bluegrass ska band.
Okay.
Because that would be awesome.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of things, sounds that could work well in common, right? And this is of like a pretty hipster town.
Upstrokes, a lot of, I'm hearing you. Okay.
Yeah. And it would be like the kind of thing that people could totally be into before it's cool.
Sure.
So that's my idea.
I'll do it.
You should do it. Talk to High Street.
You contact me, people.
I'm not kidding, though. I'm totally not kidding. I like real bluegrass. I like ska, and I really think like that would make a really fun crossover.
They both use upright basses a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of similarities. Yeah. I keep dropping my pick, my only one.
Oh, okay. I got a quarter.
I got it now. I got a quarter, too. I had change in my pocket, and I put it on the stool here because I was afraid that it would jingle jangle as I played. So,
Rowan was going to ask you something.
Sure.
Yeah, I was afraid to because you guys were babbling so much. So
I quit. I'm out.
Sorry.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you want to finish the show for him?
But I noticed the way you play the guitar, mm-hmm. like just the specific style of how the strings, I don't know, reverberate or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not a musician.
Right. That's cool. I like that.
It's different than other acoustic guitars that I've heard, and I was wondering how that came to be and how you sort of fostered that style.
Wow. That's an awesome question. That's great.
Yeah, I should be running the show.
Yeah, you should. So. Can you go get us some stuff?
I'll go get you a Moxie.
Yeah, right. I don't... Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. That's a really good question. I have a nickname of... somebody calls me Ninja.
Ninja.
Ninja. And let me explain. Is he really bringing me a Moxie?
He is.
He's really bringing me a Moxie. Thank you. This is great. Thanks, man. I don't know if I can drink it, but all right. I strum very hard because I was touring with this reggae band from New York, and we were rehearsing, and she said, "Wow, you have like a ninja way of doing things," because the way my arm was like all into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's just how I play, which is probably why I break a lot of strings and I break a lot of guitars. Like I've done damage to instruments, and I'm not saying that like I hit it hard, but I mean it's just I just have an aggressive way of playing, I guess. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult because I notice even though my guitar is perfectly in tune, sometimes it sounds out of tune because I'm hitting the strings so hard. So I have to try and back off at times. But yeah, that's interesting that you notice that. And I guess I don't really think about it until somebody points it out, which they have once
yeah,
in a while.
See?
Thank
so you're
you.
Totally like your grandfather because even I notice that you don't just strum it. You're not just like... Right. You're not just like picking a chord and going ching, ching, ching. You're actually playing.
I'm going to try some Moxie here.
Oh, hey, wait. Is this your first time?
No, it's just been a while. That's pretty good.
Oh, Moxie makes Maine as mighty.
You should try it with the real sugar. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I've had one bottle and I'm hooked. I'm just like, oh, they have I still have it in my room.
Explain to them what you're talking about.
Huh?
They have it with actual sugar in it instead of corn syrup.
In glass bottles.
In a glass
too.
Bottle.
Ooh, giddy up. Yeah, I'll take some of that.
Yeah.
Has a mellower flavor. And I'm not advertising for Moxie's, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not.
I'll write a jingle for them if they want to pay me. But
yeah, exactly.
No advertising.
No,
I'm just saying I genuinely think this is awesome.
Yeah, I receive no money from anybody.
No.
For anything.
That's right, exactly.
All right, so do you have any songs about not having any money for anything? Or was that your bar girl song?
That was probably the bar girl song. Yeah, I spent all my money on the bar tab.
I did that too.
So I apologize for that. I don't have any I'm broke songs.
Oh, okay.
But if it means anything, I was broke when I wrote them all.
That helps? That
so
helps?
It kind of fostered what came out.
Makes you like a working class hero?
That's right. That's a great song too.
Yeah. Okay, so play another one.
Okay. This one is on the EP. Song about being really sad. I apologize for that.
Oh, and you're totally going to tell us what it's called before you play it, right?
Sure. Once I make sure my guitar doesn't make that noise.
All right.
It's called Searching for a Light. Searching for a light,
back home. And I've been searching for a light, so I won't feel so alone. It's hard to see the sun if you always close your eyes. It's hard to move forward if you never cut the ties. But I'm just searching for a freedom every man seeks to find. You'll never see the future if you always look behind. Well, I've been searching for a light. Well, I've been searching for a light, so I won't feel so alone. Back home. Well, I've been searching for a light, so I won't feel so alone.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Can I just say, you're really good.
Thanks.
Well, no, when I heard, like, it's a guy with a guitar, you know, I'm just like, oh, Jesus,
yeah,
one
yeah.
of those guys. You know, no.
Think about my dog. And all
you should have heard us at the house before we left. we're ripping hard. We're just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Preparing for the worst. But no, you're honestly really good.
Thank you. Well, yeah, when I was told that you were hosting, because I've known you for years, I was like, oh, he's not gonna like this.
But it's so good. It's good.
All right, thank you.
You know, one thing we were both noticing was that when you're playing, there's a way that it sort of sounds like you're strumming at some point,
mm-hmm.
but then it sounds like you have, I don't know,
there's
think
like
of
an underlying bass sound.
The tone
yeah, cool,
in the background,
cool.
you know? Nice. I don't know how you do that, but
yeah,
that's cool.
It's really
nice.
Kind of reminds me of bagpipes.
I like that.
How?
How?
Well, because, you know, bagpipes,
guitar,
you know?
It's bagpipes? Like... I don't.
Well, my ears hear things funny. That's why I do a ska show.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, everybody else has moved on. They're listening to, like, you know, grunge, whatever. I'm still going, you know, but like, and so yeah, so I hear, like, when I hear the bagpipes, I can hear, like, the, but in the background,
sure, sure.
you have your
like,
tone. You're like,
yeah, I gotcha.
And yours sounds better than,
well, thank you.
So, you know, but no, and I'm not just, you know, fluffing at you here, you know, it's actually pretty
no
neat.
Reason to.
And, you know, I was thinking, what I was thinking about, though, was that there seems to be a sort of a shift, a progression
mm-hmm.
amongst a lot of musicians. For example, because you know the examples are coming.
Right, of course.
Like, I did mention earlier Lenny and the Piss Poor Boys.
Yes.
I'm not sure you know about, I don't. What is Jeff Morris's band? Something in Taxes? Death in Taxes.
I don't know.
Jeff Morris was from the Bruisers.
Okay, all right.
You know the Bruisers,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, I remember
them. And then, you know, the Swagger and Growlers. You got Johnny Swagger. He's out there.
Oh.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Swagger and Growlers. You know the Pub Crawlers,
oh,
local band.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Imagine sort of a New Hampshire version of the pub cars.
Okay, right, right. Fair enough.
Basically, actually, to be completely honest and fair.
So they're terrible at driving?
They're the same, only more expensive.
Okay, to be completely, here's a little known trivia fact.
Okay.
The pub crawlers actually were founded in New Hampshire.
Well, there you go. Bum, bum, bum.
Yep, it was Johnny from Swagger and Growlers.
Right.
Andy Pub Crawler, and I'm really terrible with names, and I so totally know his name because I've known him for like, you know, 15, many years.
Sure.
And I can't think of his name, so... He's going to kill me. But anyway, all right. But it was founded in a bar in New Hampshire. So Johnny Swagger, eventually, he left. He did his own thing. But anyway, the whole point, see, look at this. Tangent land.
Right. Yeah. Going off, coming
You're
back.
You're like taking the scenic route.
Bringing the train back into the, here we go. Okay.
All these guys are doing like one man things,
sure.
You know, like individual things. And I know for Johnny, at least part of it's economic, because when he goes to get to do a show, he actually gets paid.
Right.
As opposed to, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like, and instead of going and being like, well, you know, after your beer tab.
Yeah.
You owe us.
Splitting $20 between one person and eight people is a little different.
Yeah. So, So I'm curious to hear what your perspective is. It's going to be an interesting perspective because you only heard of one of those guys.
Right.
But have you noticed this sort of shift of the older punk rocker guys doing more country and individual song stuff?
You know, here's the problem is that I feel like I'm so out of the scene in some ways.
That's a good thing, believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. It's just like I've been... I don't get to hear as much live music as I want to anymore. So I feel like sometimes I'm out of the scene. But there are even different bands. Like, you know, I think of a good example is the band Loverless, who I always liked Loverless. Elijah Ocean from Loverless is doing his own thing now.
Yeah, see?
You know? And it's like, yeah. So I think, you know, and I don't know why it is. I only know why I'm doing it. I don't know why other people are doing it.
I think it's because we're getting old.
Well, that's true.
I'm curious. Is that why you're doing this?
I mean, like I said earlier, there is some logistics to it, is where it's impossible to get five people in a room together sometimes, or even four people in a room together.
And that's way easier when somebody brings the 12-pack and someone brings a little bag of
chips,
sure. Jelly beans.
All right, this is Locomotives on WMBG, and we're here with Scott Girard. And that's Girouard. You said you got an upcoming show October 10th?
October 10th at
Dude,
Empire.
Dude, I'm like a memory genius here.
It's very good.
Says the man who forgets the name of his friend of, what, 10 years? 20?
At least.
Good point.
Yeah.
But I'm just bad that way.
Good job,
everybody.
Dad.
I think it has an N
good
in
job.
It. Does it help that it has an N in it? Huh. I think.
Dana?
No, not Dana. No, no. Oh, anyway, okay. All right. So moving
Nate.
Right along.
It's Nate.
No.
I
figured I'd help.
Neil? No. Anyway, all right. So
sure.
Tell me more about music or play some music.
Well, tell me more about music is a very broad statement. I love music. It's fun.
In 1463.
What else would you like to know? I could play another song.
Yeah, you should probably do that, because I don't have anything else left on my list.
Some music.
Some music. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah, I take little notes and make little question things to ask as we're talking, and I've run out. So if you could just play a 20-minute song, that'd be great.
Okay.
Do you have a single guitar version of Inagata de Vida?
Yeah. I'll play my double version of what's the Queen song? Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, sweet. Ooh. But yeah, he's
no,
just
I don't know
kidding.
That. I was just really serious. I'm sorry. Have you heard, speaking of music, have you seen the ukulele version of it?
No.
Okay, YouTube, the guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's ukulele virtuoso, and he's playing a ukulele instrumental version of Bohemian Rhapsody. So he's like,
you look that up right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm paying all my attention to
hey,
Scott
I would
Girard.
Tell you, I would take 10 minutes to let that play for 10 minutes because it's amazing.
No, we could maybe do that later, but right now it's all about Scott Girard.
Okay, how
all
about right, I'll right. play a song that my grandfather used to sing. I don't even know who originally sang it, if it was him or not. But
is it in French?
No, it's in English. I think we touched on that.
I hope
my family isn't listening because they cry when they hear this song.
So
I apologize. But anyway, so I'll play this. My grandfather used to sing this song. So it's called Pretty as a Queen. And because, yeah, it's a pretty song, too. Don't need lipsticks on your lips, polish on your fingertips. Pretty as a picture in a magazine. You don't need jewels or a crown, not a king but what I found. It's really precious and pretty as a queen. You don't need roses in your hair, look so dandy and so fair. A pretty girl like you before I've never seen. You're the queen, now be the king. Make the palace choir sing. Look so lovely and pretty as queen. And when we're dancing, I'll be so proud to think I've got the best girl in the crowd. And when we're leaving, I'll hear them say they've never seen a couple look so gay. I like the action in your walk, mention nothing of your talk. Float along just like a brand new limousine. Tomorrow night we have a date, meet you at your palace gate. Tell the world you're as pretty as queen. Dancing, I feel so proud to think I've got the best girl in the crowd. And when we're leaving, I'll hear them say they've never seen a couple look so gay. I like the action in your walk, mention nothing of your talk. Pull along just like a brand new limousine. Tomorrow night we have a date, you're at your palace gate. Tell the world you're as pretty as queen.
All right, so here we are. Now, that was really nice.
That wasn't 20 minutes.
And I have
minutes.
To ask you. No, it was not. So, I almost don't really want to ask you. Your grandfather sang that song, and yeah. You said it will make your family upset. Is it? Is that the kind of thing they really associate with him, kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, he passed away seven years ago, I think now, and. I think it was a year or two later, my uncle, who is also a guitar player, we played it at the family reunion, and it was just 30 or 40 people just bawling their eyes out. We went, oh, sorry, yeah. Kind of a moment. But it was a great moment, and because I think, you know, the family saw his grandson and his son playing a song that he used to sing, you know, and now I just play it on the radio, like he used to always play it on the radio, so that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
So it kind of carried on that tradition.
That makes it, I don't know, I think that's really neat to... It brings me to the whole idea of going back to what you were saying about the family. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you really dwell on that, about the idea that it's sort of like a family tradition for you to do music. But it,
yeah,
I think that's kind of special. You know, like there's a lot of really neat stuff about family. I'm a big family guy.
Right.
Oh, well, aside from the fact that I have a big family.
right.
But family's something that's really important to me that I really push a lot of and... you know, it matters a lot to me. I do a lot of genealogy and mm-hmm. stuff. So, you know,
yeah,
he
goes on about that for hours.
Yeah, it's great to look back.
He's like, I found this thing about this guy in like 1312, and I'm like, I don't when will I use this knowledge?
You know? Well, you'll use it when you tell your kids. Because as I was about to say, I wish that I had that thing that was multi-generational that I could really, you know, aside from being a philanderer, I don't really have much to pass on to my kids. And so, so you know, so I've taken up genealogy to sort of give them something to you know, that they can pass on to their kids that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, anyway.
Right, gotcha.
I mean, they're going to get the philandering anyway. There's nothing I can do about that. That's
if it's,
it's in the genes.
You know?
I mean, like, my grandfather was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't want to pass that on?
Famous philanderer. He was a philandering minister.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter how much what you think of anything, like, in this family line. Like, all we... I'm talking like all the way back to the early 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
As a person with some French ancestry, you might be familiar with Port Royal and the first French colony in North America.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Our ancestors were kicked out of there
exactly
for women related offenses.
Right.
Politely one, asked to leave.
One of my ancestors was executed on the guillotine with Marie Antoinette.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yes, huh. I found that out by studying my family history. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I don't know if I should be talking
about
that.
Our family has literally missed by like a hair's breadth every single bit of famous that has ever happened in history. Dad's like, oh yeah, our great uncle, twice removed, was in the same courtroom as this famous guy.
And it's
just
not
like,
true.
Oh my God. No, literally, I'm thinking of a specific time that you told me. You're like, you were like our great, great something.
Hey, you know, this is for Scott Girard here. Scott Girard is here with us at WMPG.
Hey, how you doing?
And he's here to play music for us, for our entertainment. And Miles Standish is your ancestor. That's a pretty big deal.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So there. And the Queen of England is your 18th cousin twice removed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're like this.
Wow.
Anyway, no, so, yeah.
I want to, like, call her up and just be like, hey,
what's
cause.
Up? What's happening? Hey, cuz.
Yeah.
How did you get this number?
Anyway. Do you have any songs about... Oh, yeah, he just did a song about the Queen, right?
Pretty as a Queen.
Your 18th
you
cousin twice removed.
It all comes back to that.
Dude, Richard III is your first cousin 17 times removed. I'm not even kidding there.
That's great.
So, yeah, it means nothing.
It means something to me at this moment.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. I'm glad there's something out of it. Absolutely. Somebody's getting something out of it.
Absolutely.
All right, so, yeah, we're back to the point where I got nothing you need to play song.
Okay, cool. I'm going to indulge in one more cover.
No, that's all right. You just don't tell us. I have no idea.
Okay.
I wrote this song.
I'm gonna write a song that, well, no, I'm going to play a song that I wrote that nobody probably heard anyway, but I didn't write it. But it is, it's called Fare Thee Well.
on my name, but I'll be gone. Fare thee well, oh my dear. Fare thee well.
All right, there we go. I'm going to try something.
Okay.
Now talk.
Hi.
See, there you go. Do you sound louder and better to you?
I sound definitely louder.
Yes,
yeah.
I did that.
Thank you.
I learned to press a different button and turn you up so that you're louder and here with us.
Awesome.
Yeah, so now that the show's almost over, I hope you enjoy your part here where you get to say things that are the last, like, the last dregs of what could possibly be on your mind. The little leftover Klingon bits.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when it's the end of the show. But, hey, I got the volume up really good now.
Thank you.
I done it really good.
That's great. You done good.
Yep. And I got it all because of, see, I'm really bad with names. You know that?
Scott?
No, not yours.
Okay.
No. It's actually worse than that. It's the other guy. I totally know his name. He's going to kill me. I know his name, and he's going to come in here. He's going to smack me on the back of the head.
I see him walking down the hall.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to tell you.
He's scowling. Maybe he's going to come in here and just be like, Jesus, bro.
My name's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
I just want to thank
hey,
Dan.
Rob.
Dan, for all
Hi,
your work.
Hi, Dan.
Here.
He knows your name, Dad.
What?
He knows your name.
Yes, he does. He does actually know my name. He's really good at names. And taking my chips. He's taking my chips. Apparently.
Well, you kind of earned that.
Origin,
you kind of.
Right? Yeah. Revenge.
It's the I forgot your name tax.
Yeah.
So, do you want a moxie too? Or, oh, wait. You already took a moxie. Yeah, see?
He took a moxie before we even started.
Yeah, I know. He was like, oh, look at that. There's a bunch of moxie there. I'm going to have some of that.
I'm drinking moxie. It's kind of like. It's kind of like cough syrup that's gone bad.
Oh.
Come on.
It's I mean, not in a bad way. I mean,
No. You know what I think Moxie is like? Moxie, to me, is if non-alcoholic beer was good.
Okay.
See, because, one of the things I know about Moxie, I know a lot of alcoholics.
Yeah.
That's surprising, I know. But
sure.
When they're trying to not be alcoholics, I know a lot of them who drink Moxie.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least back in the day.
Interesting.
And I think it has a more, like, it has that bitterness,
mm-hmm.
so you actually drink it like a beer.
Right.
Instead of, like, sip it like
sure.
a soda.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
pour it in and drink it like,
yeah.
drink something. and I think it sits heavier in the belly than regular soda does.
Mm. When I become an alcoholic, I'll start drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. When it's time to
when it's time to
get clean.
It's time to get clean.
Put the bottle down. Are you going to write a song now about how you need to stop drinking beer and pick up Moxie?
Well, not right now.
Oh, okay.
Maybe when I go home.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
We could have songs, and then you can come back.
I'll come back.
Oh, here's what you could play it with, like, a ska beat.
Yeah.
With a bluegrass middle.
No, I don't know. I'll have to work on that.
Yeah, all right. It's all about me, isn't it? I just want everybody. I just make a band that plays what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And then write songs just for me. This is the torture my friends have to deal with all the time. See?
Cough, cough, shot glass, cough.
Shot glass.
There we go.
Yeah, if you ever go, if you ever go see the Pub Crawlers play, they're all good friends of mine.
Yell and shot glass until they throw you out. Seriously,
okay.
So fun.
Yeah,
I'll do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a song the drummer wrote, and he hates the song, and I love the song.
It's so great. It's yeah.
It's usually the way the ones that you don't like. That song I played earlier, "The Girl Behind the Bar," I
yeah.
really didn't like that song. I still am okay with it, but I really didn't like it. And I used to play, you know, go hang out at an open mic or something, just talking to friends, people like, go up and play that song, "Girl Behind the Bar." Go up and play that. And I didn't want to play it, and I'd have to do it because people liked it. I was like, really, I hate that song.
So, do you have a song that you really like? Like, what is your favorite song that you do?
Wow,
do you have one?
I don't know.
Or is it a mood thing? Are you like
yeah.
one of those moody musician
yeah.
people?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just. It's kind of weird. I have a hard time being – it's one of the things about not being in a band, too, and writing all the songs and going, great, I'm going to play these songs now, because there's no one to tell you, yeah, it's not really good. You don't have anybody else in the band going, I like it, but don't do that. So I have a hard time – like I guess I like my songs or I wouldn't play them, but I probably have written 200 songs and like 10 of them. You know, because and play 10 of them because like, oh, that's terrible, I won't play it ever again. And some of them I've just forgotten over the years because I don't, it's like a, it's, I guess it's like a writer's block thing, because the writer's block is you can, it's not that you can't write anything, you just hate everything you write.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a constant writer's block that I
so
have.
I've basically had writer's block for like 42 years
there
maybe.
You go exactly.
It's just a period of writer's block that I'm suffering through. I'm a struggling artist
who has constant writer's block. Terminal writer's block.
Yes. Well, I think the only thing that would be terminal is if I actually did try to write
I tried to write 2 songs. It ended in disaster, and I will never do that again.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
I apologize to everyone who ever heard that song.
It was probably awesome, but because, you know.
But
anyway, all right.
You're your own worst critic, so you didn't like it.
So we got about 5 minutes left of your show.
Sure. Hey, how you doing?
Specifically, Mr. Scott Girard.
Yes.
Who is playing October 10th at the Empire. Ba-dum-bum.
Boom.
And... So yeah, you got like 5 minutes left, so you can do a nice little, you know, song,
sure,
or something.
I'll do a nice little song.
Yep.
And yeah, and that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
Song is called Silhouette. Silhouette in the doorway, we've been throwing rocks all day. It doesn't matter.